We are born with an ability to love. An ability even to love boldly, an ability, a capacity to love even that which is different than ourselves, that which is other. We are born with a capacity to love across diversity, to love by giving ourselves so that others will be fed. We are born with this capacity. A minister friend, a friend of mine named Christina, she recently had a birthday, and she found out pretty quickly on her birthday that her babysitter was not going to be able to be there to allow her to be able to go out for her birthday evening. And so she wrote a quick note to me saying, please help, and I came over and I had the wonderful opportunity to care for her baby Nevin. Little baby Nevin, who's recently been adopted by Christina and her spouse Brian. So we started with dinner, and as soon as baby Nevin and I started with dinner, the family dogs ran underneath baby Nevin's high chair. Why? Well, of course, they were preparing to be fed. You have seen children do this before, delighted by the opportunity to give. They feed everyone often but themselves, right? In the two stories that we shared today, love is personified in impossible ways. The first story, it sounds honest. Being loved makes us real, and sometimes it hurts. This is honest, but let's remember that we are learning this story from two stuffed animals that are sitting alone in a nursery. And in the second story, at first the characters seem real. There's a rag man and the hurting inhabitants of a city, but as the story unfolds, miracles attend the downtrodden. Love, personified in the ragman, reaches out not only to help, but to heal. There have been times, I'm certain, that all of us have ached for such a miracle as these. Ached to be the receiver or the giver, right? Both stories are miraculous, impossible perhaps. Stories of love often are. Love, it's become a god. A god for the Greeks in the form of Eros, for the Japanese in the form of Benzaiten, for the Hindi in the form of Kamadeva, for the Christian in the form of Jesus. George Carlin, not a god, but a prophet. Skeptical of the way religion often personifies love, mingling it with judgment, says this: religion has convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do, every minute of the day, and the invisible man has a list of 10 specific things that he doesn't want you to do, and if you do any of these, he will send you to a special place of burning and fire and smoke and torture and anguish for you to live forever and suffer and burn and scream until the end of time. But he loves you. He loves you and he needs your money. I love George Carlin. Love as a God-given miracle or a tease seems ridiculous, perhaps dangerously so. The mission of the Universalist Church was from the beginning to separate love from judgment, to even separate love from miracles. Separating love from judgment, the Universalist Church announced that any loving God worth her salt would not, could not torture any soul in endless hell. This part of the Universalist mission, it has theological weight. It continues to this day in congregations like this one and in others across the denominational map. But the second fight of the Universalist Church, that one still remains. The separation of love from miracles. We, the theological children of these bold ideas, are called to the Universalist mission of ridding the world, of ridding this place of the actual hells, those that come before our very eyes. Hunger, environmental degradation, hatred, oppression. We're called to rid these from our lives and from the lives of others. This is real work. This is sweat and sorrow work. Do you know this work? Baby Nevin feeding the dogs, that was a very real act. No miracle there, just generosity, glee in seeing another being fed. Glee in seeing another being fed. And in being the one with the power, with the ability to feed. We are called here to love boldly, to use our love to heal our world. If you know from our mission statement, we are also called to seek boldly, to seek wisdom, solace, inner peace, outer understanding. We are called also to serve boldly, to give back, to give to serve that which is more than our own ego. And if we are called, we are also called to love boldly. Does that mean we need to give up an arm, like the ragman? Is that the way that we rid hell on earth? No, because miracles like that are for fantasy, not real. Loving boldly, it means that we need to remember. We need to remember why the child in us was born wanting to give. We need to remember that and act on it in all the ways that we can. Baby Nevin was born to plenty. Christina and Brian, his parents, they have enough to fill his plate with all that he needs. He feels this abundance and he gives abundantly. But some of the most generous children and adults that I meet are the ones that have known scarcity, that have known pain, who have lived with an empty heart, hopeless and alone. We who have learned scarcity, and I say we because all of us have learned scarcity in some form, whether in food, friendship, peace, or other, we who have learned scarcity have more reason to love because we know what it does. Many people are alive, says the Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh. Many people are alive, but don't touch the miracle of being alive. One profound but real miracle is that loving boldly changes us and our world one love at a time. This is very real. Parents who once railed against the evils of homosexuality can be turned to the wiser course of understanding when they realize that their own child is gay. This can happen. This does not always happen. But when it does, love is that very real, almost miraculous catalyst. Jewish people who befriend Muslims, Christians who befriend Hindus, they are transformed by that embrace of otherness. Did you read the story of David Duke's son in the Washington Post? It was an incredibly long story, but it was worth it. Came out a few months back. It told of Derek Black, that's David Duke's son, his transformation from white supremacy to multicultural advocate. White supremacist to multicultural advocate. How did this happen? An acquaintance, a Jewish student at the same school, invited Derek to a Shabbat dinner and then invited him back again and again and again. And this acquaintance saw that Derek was lonely. He gave him a place at the table and love fed him. And he was slowly but surely transformed. Perhaps we can recall ourselves to the miracle that runs through even these unnerving times. The honest miracle that proves love's power. That by loving boldly, one lost soul at a time, beginning often with our own, we do change the world. I'm going to put out some Valentines in a little bit in the fellowship hall in between the services. And I welcome you to write a Valentine. There will be envelopes. You can write a Valentine to someone at the Adams Center Mosque, to a Muslim person that you probably don't know and haven't met. But you're welcome to send them a message of love, or you can send one to IUTA, to one of the many immigrants that are served by IUTA, people who are in a place of scarcity and loss who need to feel love, or you can send a Valentine to someone at LAWS, the Loudoun Abused Women's Center, a place that is holding people who have been abused. Or you can write your Valentine to someone that you know, someone that might be struggling with you, or you might be struggling with them, someone who needs to feel your love. But perhaps you might do one thing more. Who are you missing in your circle of friends? Who don't you know enough about? Maybe someone who's different than you in some way. A good friend of mine who's another minister nearby, he's a black minister in Annapolis, and one of the things that he says every morning he sees bad news go across the internet, any bad news, he writes a note to everyone on Facebook and says, reach out to a Muslim, reach out to a black person, reach out to someone who is different than you in some way and make them your friend. That's what he sends out there for solace for himself and for others. If there is an otherness that you don't know how to cross, bridge it one soul at a time. Will we choose to bless the world, he asks. The choice to bless the world is more than an act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. It is an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. None of us alone can save the world. Together, that is another possibility waiting. Amen.